Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
Welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody, and happy birthday, Savannah.
Yay, happy birthday to me.
Yay. Well, as this is coming out, it's already been your birthday, but you know, we around here we get two birthday episodes.
Yeah.
And we did forget to mention it till the end of the last episode, so sorry about that. But happy birthday. Nonetheless.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so I just celebrated my birthday. I got to have like a little spa day. So that was really fun.
We love some relaxation.
It was a little relaxing birthday, so yep. Had a real good time. That's what you do when you get older. You don't want to have like a whole party. Mm-hmm. You just relax.
For sure. So. I was really stressed on your birthday. I was at a wedding and I was in the wedding, so
Oh my God.
It was a high stress day for me.
Yeah.
I wish I was at the spa relaxing.
I know. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
we should have a relaxing chill day together.
So yeah, we should.
You can relax too.
True. We definitely should. We should. Okay. So also, I'm pretty sure last week you mentioned that you were going to Utah. So
yes. Oh my God. Literally the last week or so has been so busy. And honestly, the next few weeks are going to be busy for me too. Like, it's just that time of year, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I went to Utah on a little business trip. A lot of the time I was spending, you know, at this event that I was going there for, but then, part of the time I got to explore Salt Lake City a little bit, and it was really fun. It's a really cool, like, it's a walkable city pretty much, because, like, the sidewalks are so wide, and it's just, I don't know, I was just, like, so happy about it.
I love a walkable city more than anything. Yes.
I know. It's like, I don't know, because like a lot of the places around here, like our city, our downtown here is kind of walkable, but it could definitely have some improvements. This, like when I was in Salt Lake City, I literally did not need to get in a car the whole time except for to drive from the airport and like back to the airport.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and we even went to dinner a few times. Like we just walked over to a restaurant to get dinner. That was definitely the top, my favorite part of it.
Yeah.
And it was just like the weather was nice. It was a great time. Would I go back? Maybe. You know.
Was it pretty? Like.
It was. It was really pretty. It was really cool because I didn't realize that Salt Lake City is sort of in a valley, I guess you could say, because there's mountains on either side. Mm-hmm. I guess, I think it was to the east and west, there's mountains.
Ooh.
And they're really pretty. They're huge.
I bet they are.
Yeah. And flying over it, it's really pretty.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah.
Amazing.
I'll give the whole trip a solid, we'll say 9 out of 10.
Oh, we love that.
Yep.
What a good score. Amazing. Let's see. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please.
Yes, please.
I don't really have any other intro topics. What about you, Savannah?
Okay, well, I don't think I have anything. We can, you know, if I find something, can put it at the end.
We'll exactly.
you know, I'm actually, I am going to mention I am pretty tired while we're recording this right now. But I feel like that just adds to the entertainment level.
I would say I am also exhausted right now.
Yes. Both of us, as we get more exhausted, we get more entertaining. So it's a win-win for us. Maybe a win-lose, but you know.
Yeah. Okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so this week I have a really fun story that I didn't even know was, like, a thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a local story.
Okay.
And it's in Old Salem.
Ooh.
Yes. Yay. So, I'll talk about Old Salem in a minute for those of you that don't know what this is, but the story is called The Little Red Man.
I'm so excited about this.
Yeah. Have you heard of The Little Red Man?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have? Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I had not before this past weekend. So actually, I went to an escape room at Old Salem this weekend.
Escape rooms are one of my favorite things.
Yes, it was so, it was really fun, and it was so random that they had it, because, like, it, like, Old Salem doesn't really do that, but they were just, like, it's just for Halloween, they're having a fun little escape room, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And it was centered around one of their famous ghosts, which is the Little Red Man, aka, Andreas Kremser. So, once I heard this story, I was like, I knew I had to talk about it on the podcast, because it was like, you know, obviously, mm-hmm. local story, ghost.
Of course.
Okay, so let's take it back a little bit and talk about Old Salem. So the city of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, it used to be, like, way back in the day, it was the cities of Winston and Salem. You know, so they, and then eventually they came together mm-hmm. to be one city, Winston-Salem. So anyways, Old Salem is, like, the oldest, you know, city in the area that, or town that was, it was founded in 1766 by Moravian colonists. And it was actually named Salem from the Hebrew shalom, meaning peace, which I didn't realize. I didn't know that was a thing.
I had no idea.
I read that and I was like, I mean, even if that's not true, that's like a cool fact. I'm going to believe it's true, even if it's not.
Yeah.
So yeah. And the city of Winston, just mention it here. It was founded in 1849 and was named in 1851 after a Revolutionary War hero, Major Joseph Winston. So that, I mean, that's the last time I'll mention Winston in this story, but I just thought I would, you know, because yeah, Winston-Salem. For sure. And they came together as one city in 1913. So anyways, back to the 1700s, Salem was founded as a religious community, and the town was strictly controlled by the Moravian Church, and any members who were found to be, like, disobeying their rules would be exiled. And I think this is common for a lot of the, like, colonial towns, right? In America?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I've definitely heard of some in the Northeast that, you know, were the same, like Puritans and stuff. So, yes, eventually the town grew and the community sort of drifted away from their strict roots and went into more mainstream culture. And now we have Winston-Salem today, and it's, like, not a strict Moravian city anymore, but... You know.
No, not at all.
That's our roots, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do still have the Moravian stars every Christmas.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, Bethania, which is, like, a city right outside of Winston-Salem, is pretty much all Moravian. drove by it, actually, recording, like, right before recording. And they all have the Moravian stars.
Yeah. Yep. I do like how Moravian culture is still sort of, it's sort of, like, involved in Winston-Salem a little bit because of those stars. And then also, the like, cookies, the Moravian chicken pies.
Definitely.
There's just, you know, a few random things here and there. But anyways, after, sorry, I feel like I lost my place here.
It's okay, now I'm just hungry.
Actually, no, I know, true. So the main street of Salem is still here today. And, so are some of the buildings. So they're like over 200 years old at this point. And now it's referred to as Old Salem, like I said in the beginning.
Oh, and the area, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an open air museum, which I guess that's the term for it. I don't really know. How would you explain it? It's like, you know, buildings.
I would say like it's like a museum town.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's like a whole town preserved in history.
Yeah. Kind of. But it's really just, like, one main street.
Definitely. But it's, like, a little tiny small town, you know? They have, like, all the goods, like, the post office, the stores, all that stuff.
Yeah. True. So, yeah. People, also, people who work there will dress up. They dress up as the colonists. So, they wear, like, their colonial outfits and while they're giving tours and stuff. So, that sort of, like, puts you into the... back into the history of it. And so like you can buy tickets to tour the buildings and see how life was lived in the 18th and 19th century. And also they have a bakery there that is amazing.
Truly.
So good. So that's a little you know my little summary of Old Salem, and I'm urging people to go to it because it is kind of cool. But anyways, we're gonna get into the legend of the Little Red Man. So Andreas Kremser, he was a resident of Salem in the 1700s, and he was a shoemaker. He was actually born in 1763 in Pennsylvania and arrived in Salem at 19 years old. And he lived in a building in Salem that was the single brother's house. So this house was sort of like a dormitory of sorts, like just like a house that all of the single men in town lived at. And there was like some real like young men, like young teenagers to like older men, like the age range was pretty wide. And so he lived in this house, and the Moravians actually, they kept really good records. So we have really good detail of like, all of the, just like the details of his life and everybody else's life in town.
And I love that.
I know, right? You can like look back and see all of this stuff. And they even like, they have record of all of the times he misbehaved, and they were, like, basically trash-talking him.
No way. That's so funny.
Because he changed jobs a lot, because, like, he would start a job and not be good at it, and they'd be like, we need to assign you a new job, because you suck at this. So, that happened a few times. He was a chimney sweep and a cook, and... then eventually, like, his main job was shoemaker. So, he also helped with this project, at the single brother's house, where they were, like, they were digging a basement, to the single brother's house, and, like, basically a new foundation to have more space in the house, right? So he was helping on this project, and he was digging on March 25th of 1786, because, you know, they have really good records of all of this stuff, so we know the exact date. So he was digging on that day with his, I guess, I don't know what to call him, just somebody else who lived in the house too, Joseph Dixon. And they were working to dig this foundation, and everybody else had gone to like mass for the night, I believe. They were like going mm-hmm. to church, and then yeah. they either stayed behind or came back afterwards. And so they were digging and the soil fell on them.
Oh.
And they got trapped in the dirt.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very scary,
that
actually.
That is not good. That is yeah. not good at all.
So basically they're in this hole in the ground, trapped, and Andreas Kremser, he got buried up to the top of his head. Like, absolutely. He's totally buried.
No.
Yeah. No. And his friend Joseph Dixon, he was only buried up to like his chest. So he was fine. Like, he got out and was like recovered pretty quickly because, you know, nothing really happened to him.
Yeah.
But then Kremser, like, he got out eventually, and he was still alive when they got him out, but then they put him, like, in the sick room, and were caring for him, and I believe they even used, like, leeches and, like, mm-hmm. were, like, bloodletting and stuff.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he died.
No, after that's this. So tragic.
It is. And I want to believe, like, or I want to think about, like, would he have lived if they didn't do all of the weird colonial medicine practices, you know?
Ugh, that's sad.
If they just, like, left him. But, I mean, breathing in dirt is probably not good.
No, you know? Definitely so. Not.
Yeah. So, yeah. Unfortunately, Kremser died, and he was 33 years old at this time. So, very unfortunate. So, that ever since that night, the sound of a shoemaker's hammer has been heard throughout the house. The tap, tap, tapping. And every time they heard a noise, they would say, "That's Brother Kremser." And that's creepy on its own.
Extremely. Are we kidding?
Yeah. And years later, this house, the single brother's house, it became a home for widows of the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, during this time, a little girl, she went to visit her grandmother, and she saw a little man with a red cap on, and she said that this man was begging her to come see him.
Mm-mm.
And no one believed her. And somebody eventually realized, like, this must be Kremser, because he had a red hat on when he was buried in the dirt.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So the story of the little man with the red cap became the story of the little red man.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. At first, I thought it was, like, maybe because the red soil of North Carolina, but no.
True.
It's just, I guess hat. He wore a red hat.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Even the people who work at Old Salem now, they still hear Kremser to this day.
I want to go.
I know, right? So, there was there's a little video that I watched, and one of the employees, she went through all of the things that she has gone through and, like, heard in this house, like, working at this house.
No
yeah.
way.
So there's a few things I'm going to list here. She has heard somebody calling her name when nobody was there.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and she would, like, fully believe, like, she had just started a job, and she was like, I'm over here. And then she realized, she's like, nobody else is in the building. Yeah, so that's scary.
Yeah, hate that.
And then another time, she was about to give a tour to like a class, and the teacher was there as well, and they heard stomping down the stairs when nobody else was there, and like, you know, nobody had gone down the stairs, but they heard stomping. And the teacher looked over at her and was like, gave a weird look, and she just had to pretend she's like, everything's fine, and just went on with the tour and ignored
Wow.
it.
Wow.
Professional right there.
Very, very.
'Cause like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, I would
Run
not be
away.
doing that.
And another time, somebody poked her in the back while she was giving a tour. And she turned
Ew.
around, and of course, no one's there.
What? That really creeps me out.
It does, I
Like, you don't have to
know.
be going around touching people.
Right,
Like, saying her name, that's different.
I mean, that's still
That's
creepy.
still
It's all
horrifying.
creepy. And so after all of this, she said that now, whenever she goes to this building, she will yell, "I'm here, I'm here. I got work to do. Don't bother me." And then she goes into the building, and after that, nobody really bothers her.
Okay, well, I'm glad that she found something that works for her.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, I mean, honestly, if ever I have an encounter with a ghost, like daily, I would have to do something like that too. Like
Oh,
either make friends with
same.
it or, you
Yeah.
know, tell it to go away.
Yeah, you have to.
Exactly. So, as I said in the beginning, I was there in this building where Kremser died. Like literally, I'm pretty sure it's like at the spot where he
Okay, you know what's crazy
died.
is for some reason I didn't connect that to that you were actually in that house.
Yes, I was there 'cause like and I was in the part that he was digging
Wow.
while he died. Yeah.
Wow.
Or, you know, before he died. I mean, 'cause it was obviously finished at this point, but
Yeah, of course.
still. Yeah. So that's the room where they had this escape room.
Wow.
Is in that room.
That's cool.
It is really cool. I took some pictures. I'm gonna post them. It looks really cool because it was like all lit by candlelight.
Ooh.
Yeah, like real candles. And there was like
Fire
no.
hazards.
What did you say?
I said fire hazards.
Oh, honestly, true. Because there was also fire in the fireplace too.
Oh, see, that just scares me a little bit.
I know. At first, I was like, wait. They're just gonna like leave this here like that.
Right.
Because we had like walked into the building, and nobody else, I don't think anybody else was in there, and it was just like the fire had already been on. I was like, oh. But I mean, I guess these buildings have been around for hundreds of years and it's been
Yeah,
fine, so.
that's very true. There's always been a fire in there too, so.
Exactly. But yeah, it was really cool. Took some pictures. And yeah, so we basically like had to do some puzzles to find our way out of this room.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah,
Yay.
we ended up solving the puzzle. And I did actually hear some hammering.
I was gonna ask.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was like really the ghost or if it was just people who were, you know, working this. Trying to freak us out.
True, very
Could
true.
have been either one, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Could have been him.
Interesting. Did anybody else hear the knocking? Or I mean the hammering?
I don't know. I was sort of like, there was like two rooms that we were in, connected by like a door, and I was like in the room by myself, and I was like,
Oh,
so,
interesting.
yeah. Scary.
Could have been real. Could have been the little red man.
Yeah, so yeah, that is the story of the little red man.
Wow.
So you had said you heard this story before?
Well, no, I never heard the story. I just heard of the little red man being somebody who haunts Old Salem.
Okay,
Because I have
okay.
friends that went to Old Salem, so they were just telling me some ghost stories before.
I see, I see. I have
Yeah.
seen on the the website for Old Salem that they talk about this story to some like kids in grade school.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, did you learn it there when you were in school?
Yeah, you know, I did go with school a lot, so maybe. But yeah. I know that I've learned it from my friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that is the story.
Well, I love that. I love that a lot. And now I want to go and see if I hear the hammer.
I know. We need to, the only way we can get in, we have to pay for a tour.
Yeah, that's right. We can do the tour, because I'm trying to also go back to the bakery.
Yes, true. Yeah. It was also really cool because there's not a lot of times where you can go to these buildings at night.
Right.
Yeah, and this was at night, so it was perfect and scary. And
yeah, are they going to do it again? Because I want to go.
I need to look it up because I know they were doing it like 3 nights last weekend. I don't know if they're doing it again this weekend, you know, before Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm going to look into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be a fun little thing for you to do. You'd have to get a group together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
If I see, like, I can't go again because I would know all the tricks.
Yeah. But. Yeah, that would be lame. Very lame to do it again. Well, I'll have to look into it. Because now I want to know. And I want to go in there. But anyways, I guess moving along to my story for this week. I have the legend of Screaming Jenny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had never heard of this one before, but very interesting, I'll tell you that. So this week we're taking a trip to, once again, West Virginia.
Okay, of course.
I know. There's a lot going on in West Virginia, honestly, way more than I thought.
Like, yeah, I mean, honestly, it makes a lot of sense to me because West Virginia is a lot of, like, open space.
That's true. That's
very and, true. Like, in the middle, like, people in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, that's where the best legends are made.
That's very true. Very, very true. Well, specifically, we're going to be going to Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, this week.
Okay.
And so there's not really a lot of setup, so we're just going to kind of jump right on into it. So, there was once this young girl, her name was Jenny, and everybody in town described her as this, like, very, like, kind-hearted woman who was always, like, willing to help somebody whenever they needed it. Basically, like, the give the shirt right off her back type of person, which we love.
Yes, and, love that.
Yeah. What a sweetie. And her background, honestly, hasn't been able to be found very easily, and she didn't have any family, and she didn't really have friends, even though she was really nice, so...
Oh my god, that's so sad.
I know, it's really sad. And so, even sad enough, she was said to be, like, alone her whole entire life.
What?
I know. It's really awful. And so, in this small town, it sits, like, the town itself sits alongside the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. And beside the railroad, there are these storage sheds that the homeless would live in. And so, Jenny actually lived in one of them back in 1833. And so one night, Jenny, by herself, because remember, she doesn't have any friends or family, she is just, like, in her shed, and she's sitting by a fire eating some soup that she had made, when all of a sudden, a spark flew up from the fire, and it landed on her skirt, and it set her completely on fire.
Okay, that is really scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, actually okay. My worst fear.
And see, now I know... why you brought up the fire hazard
yeah.
in my story.
Yeah, exactly. And let me tell you, as a little side story to this story, about a fire hazard that happened over the weekend at the wedding that I was at.
Oh, no.
So I was a bridesmaid, and I didn't have, like, a cute enough, like, jacket or anything to put over my dress, so I just decided to freeze instead.
Me and Dina, both. Honestly, fashion is pain. So
Exactly.
Beauty is pain.
Absolutely true. So there was a fire going on, and it was, like, a little bit away from the dance floor. So me and Dina were sitting in chairs right beside the fire trying to get warm. And all of a sudden, it, like, pops and absolutely, like, I don't know what was inside of there, but it exploded, like, in our faces.
Oh, my God.
It was the scariest thing, it made the loudest noise. I was deafened for a hot minute in my right ear because that's how loud it was and how close we were. Bad? It was like people ran over like the venue workers. They like ran over. They're like, oh my gosh, this has never happened before. I'm like, I don't believe you. But yeah, it was really crazy. We were okay. But now I'm reading the story again. And I'm like, we could have easily caught on fire. Easily.
So. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like the exact same thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Ooh, that makes me sick.
Jeez.
It was horrifying. But, you know, we're okay. But Jenny, you know, back to her being on fire. She was obviously panicking, as you can imagine, because I would be too. But she decided that her best bet was to run to the train station in hopes that somebody would hear her and help her. Because she was literally right across, like, a good 20 steps away from it. She was very close to it. So she had, at this point, been on fire for, like, a minute. And she was running, screaming as loud as she could because she was in pain. But she was running to the train station. Unfortunately, it was so late in the evening that nobody was at the train station. So, you know, she's getting weaker and weaker, and her run was, like, turning into a walk, and that caused her to accidentally stumble onto the train tracks, and unfortunately, just at that time, a train had been passing, the engineer who was, like, operating the train quotes that he saw a ball of fire on the tracks and tried to stop, but there was no time to fully stop, and tragically, she was killed by the train. On fire.
Oh no, that's horrible.
Yeah, like the worst thing you could have possibly ever heard in your life, honestly.
Okay, so sorry, but what year did you say this was?
1833.
See, when did like stop, drop, and roll become such a big thing? Because yeah. I feel like everybody knows it now, but did people really not know back then that that's how you would get fire off of you?
I would really bet no. Not in 1833. Crazy. Wait, I'm looking it up. Stop, drop, roll, invented.
I feel like that was a big campaign, like even when we were little, you know?
Dude, it was invented in the 1970s.
See, yeah.
She had no idea.
She didn't know.
Oh, that's so sad. Because I was like, why would she run away? But
people don't know, I guess. I don't.
Yeah, they didn't. Not then.
You start freaking out. I mean, if you're on fire, like, I think you're just, like, freaking out. Yeah.
There's no thoughts in my head other than I'm literally on fire.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, now knowing stop, drop, and roll, like, that's obviously just, like, the first thing that comes to your mind. But
definitely.
I'm glad that that was such a big campaign. Like, now we know.
Yeah, same. Same.
Like, if you had caught on fire, you would have been fine.
Yeah, I would have been fine. Because I would have stopped, dropped, and rolled down that big old hill.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, anyways, they sent a crew in to recover her body, and they did. And they ended up burying her body in an unmarked grave near the local church. And they did this because everybody in town, they knew who she was, and they were like, she doesn't have any friends and family, so we need to do this. So it was at least sweet that the town did that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
For her. But not long after this tragic accident, a family moved into Jenny's shed, and even more sad, Jenny was quickly forgotten by the people in Harper's Ferry, and about a month after the accident, a train was going down the same track, and the conductor says that he saw what appeared to be a person on fire, so he slammed on the brakes. Obviously, he stopped the train, got out, looked around, called in crews, and they were all shocked to find absolutely no one.
Anywhere. Oh my gosh.
Nowhere.
No one?
Mm-mm. No, nothing. And so he reported it to the station master, and soon after, the conductor had actually heard from somebody in town what had happened to Jenny, and he was positive. He was like, no, that's who I saw. Like, it had to be her ghost. And so ever since this first sighting of Jenny, people have allegedly also heard a young woman screaming in the train station when nobody seems to be screaming around. And yeah, not only that though, so that kind of happens all year round, the screaming, and sometimes people will see a ball of fire. But every single year on the day that Jenny passed, people claim to see a burning lady Screaming in agony, like specifically on the day.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that one is kind of like how we talk about, like, maybe it's a residual haunting, like, since it's on the day every year, you know?
Yeah.
Like, where it's just, like, yeah, like a moment in time, like, stuck on repeat or whatever. You know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's sad. But, so let's see here. Engineers and conductors from, like, nearby towns, they actually refuse to take any jobs that have anything to do with going through that train station because they all know about Screaming Jenny, and they're like, we don't want to see her. We don't want to do any of that. So they will, like, change their paths or whatever, which is crazy. I mean, I would, too. I'd be like, no. Because
yeah,
even if you don't know, if you think that you're about to run over somebody who's on fire...
Right.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, that's just absolutely horrible. But anyway, people are actually kind of hesitant in believing this legend fully. Some people think it's just simply a story and that people, like, have seen a woman on fire, like, even before Jenny. Like, they're just like, these wild claims, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I just don't know. Jenny was a real person, and there are records that prove that she actually did die on the track. So, like, I believe it. You know, I don't know. Possible. It was very tragic, so. I just feel like, why would somebody make this up? Like, this is not funny, you know?
Right.
And, like, we hope that she's not stuck there or whatever, but.
Yeah. So, when is the anniversary? Like, when is, do you have the date or
did I write that down?
or know? Just time of year, I don't know.
You know, I did not write that down, and that might be a sign of maybe I was slacking, or maybe that makes the legend a little bit less believable since they didn't give it to me.
Oh yeah, you know? Maybe.
Interesting. But yeah, that is the legend of Screaming Jenny.
Oh my gosh.
That one's just really sad, honestly.
It is, yeah.
Like,
and it's just like, I just keep thinking of the importance of knowing stop, drop, and roll.
No, seriously. Like, it could really actually save your life.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And, like, that sounds so stupid. Like, I remember in school being like, this is so obvious.
Right. And it's not obvious, though.
No. No, it's really not. No. Because even me, like, I would think, like, throwing water on a fire, but, like, if it's an oil fire, that's only going to make it worse.
Yeah.
So you got to smother it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. If we learned one thing today here, ladies and gentlemen, stop, drop, and roll.
Exactly. That is the one lesson here.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. And don't dig in a hole where the soil is loose and will fall on you.
Yeah, maybe just don't dig a hole, you know?
Yeah, stay safe out there. Yeah. Yep.
Because I don't want to be buried alive.
No, definitely not.
Both of these people, I just realized, like, died really horrendous deaths.
Right.
Like, some of my worst fears, like, buried alive and on fire and ran over by a train.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Like, that's so bad.
Yes.
Like, the worst of the worst. Wow, see, our stories always connect in some way or another, Savannah.
I know, right?
Always.
Yeah.
But anyways, go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. And yes, please. Definitely make sure to check out our Instagram to see pictures, especially Savannah's real pictures from
the
actual house. I'm excited to see.
I got to be a photographer this week, you know?
We love that. Love that a lot. But yeah, that's really all that I have for you guys this week. Happy birthday, Savannah, once again.
Thank you.
Of course. But that's all I have. What about you, Savannah?
I think we can end it there.
Okay. Well, I guess we will see you guys next week.
Cue the music.